This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
FEMA admits it messed up when it comes to hurricane response in 2017 as far as Puerto Rico is concerned. Paul Manafort arrives at Alexandria lockup, so what does that mean? And the U.S. reunites 57 immigrant kids with parents. Just another day in America. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Let's talk about the FEMA report quickly and let you know that the Federal Emergency Management Agency did say that we fess up. We drastically underestimated that devastation that Hurricane Maria was about to unleash on Puerto Rico. The findings are in FEMA's after-action report. That's what they do, summarizing their performance. And, of course, it was a busy year with three catastrophic hurricanes. There was massive criticism about what happened in Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory of 3 million people. The report says FEMA's planning in the area was incomplete. They didn't know what adequately account for major disasters in a short amount of time. They didn't know what was happening there. In May of 2018, a Harvard study estimated there were 4,000 deaths were associated with the storm, and that contradicts the official estimate, 64, of FEMA. The report said that it had committed to updating a portion of its Caribbean response plan before the 2017 hurricane season, but they didn't have a complete plan. It was incomplete, and that they developed that portion of the plan during the response operation. It just goes to show you got to burn the midnight oil. They say there was a lack of communication. There were all kinds of shortfalls. There was a uniquely challenging situation. And you remember, the president praised the federal storm recovery efforts in Puerto Rico, even though millions of people didn't have power. And remember when famously the president said it was a 10 on a scale of 10. So FEMA comes out and says that it wasn't and talks about how they were proud of how they performed in extraordinary circumstances, but that they want to improve. And that's why they released this Thursday report, because they're trying to be transparent. So I give them kudos for being transparent, because they should be. But I don't give them any kudos for not I say they should have had a plan in place, so they shouldn't have relied on old information. But that's the screw up of who's in charge. So who's in charge? What are they working on? What were they concerned with? That goes to part of that. Meaning, when they sat down and they were looking at the year, they should have looked at some of the possibilities. With the hurricanes, especially with the predictability of that, they've gotten better at it with the Hurricane Center, and they didn't do that enough, in my opinion, and that's how they landed in that brutal situation, because certainly they didn't. You know, FEMA doesn't want to be the target, right? They don't. So they were the target, and they still are the target because of gaffes like that one. So they got to get it together. Speaking of getting it together, Thursday's House Judiciary Committee testimony from FBI agent Peter Storch descended into crazy chaos after the opening statements. Here's what happened. Congressman Trey Gowdy, a Republican from South Carolina, you know who he is, was the first to question the agent. He asked Storch how many people had been interviewed in the Russian investigation. From July 31st to August 8th, Storch declined to answer, saying that FBI counsel instructed him not to answer the questions about ongoing investigations. And that set off the chaos where you had different people interjecting, and where eventually he was put in this situation, according to ranking minority member Gerald Nadler, who said, you know, the gentleman does not have standing to one of the chairs, Congressman Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, said you're under subpoena and you're required to answer the question. So the ranking minority member, Gerald Nadler, or could be Nadler, he interjected and said he objected to make sure this point hangs out there. And he said the gentleman does not have standing to object. So Nadler eventually was allowed to speak by stating a point of order. And he said it puts him in an impossible situation. He's still an employee of the FBI. FBI counsel is telling him not to answer the questions. We have a problem with this policy. We should take it up with the FBI, not badger him. And then just kind of unraveled worse from there. I mean, there was just all kinds of heckling and the madness. It was like a complete show. And at one point, he was reading the text he wrote. He had 5,000 texts, this FBI agent, to his girlfriend. So if you think about it, 1 minute to write or send, that's 833 hours each, or 20 weeks of work. So, wow, he had time to text a lot, apparently, and that is not good, and that does not make him look good, let's put it that way. And that's why I think that was the point of making him read the text. It was brutal. All right, on this show, we bounce around. We don't just hammer one point. And I always say it's what people are buzzing about. So the FEMA report, I think, got people a little upset about Puerto Rico and what happened or what should have happened or what about territories. Should we have territories? Even goes deeper than that. And then how about Paul Manafort, who looks terrible, by the way. He looks like he hasn't slept for 5 weeks. So he arrived to the detention center in Virginia following a transfer from a rural Virginia jail where federal prosecutors say that the former Trump campaign chairman was afforded some special treatment. Yeah, special treatment was when he had all kinds of ways to be able to hook up with the internet and get his work done and all that kind of stuff. And the privileges that he had started to come out. So now he's in Alexandria, and he joins about 400 other inmates. There have been others of note that have been in this facility, but he won't quite be the VIP that he was in this other jail. Manafort's attorneys initially referred to the lack of proximity in their request for a postponement of the July 25th trial. They were hoping to get that. The district judge ordered him moved and saying it was better to have his confinement someplace else. And he's got this trial in Alexandria on bank and tax fraud. And where that ends up, it seems like they have really nailed that shut. But seems like, and it is nailed shut, you know, come on. And he's saying he had access to all his files. Prosecutors say Manafort had a bathroom, shower, and a workspace. So to get everything done, so he's getting closer to the two trials where he's going to have to defend those different allegations or charges, actually, you know, bank fraud and failing to register as a foreign agent for lobbying work for pro-Russia politicians in the Ukraine. So this all came out of the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russia and the presidential 2016 campaign for Trump, the possible collusion. So no more VIP treatment. He rolls on and moves on. I also mentioned this, the U.S. reuniting 57 immigrant children with parents. Woohoo! That was a good day. A lot of smiles, a lot of photo ops, and they're trying to figure out how do we sort this all out. It's a mess. It's going to take a while. Hang with us.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metals dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code RADIO at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Of We Can Count, where we talk about numbers. If you look around you, there's lots of numbers like this one. How about the thieves that stole over $27,000 worth of goods from an Apple store in less than a minute? Yep, they burst into a store in Fresno, California. They made off with phones, laptops, all that kind of stuff on Saturday, less than 30 seconds. Surveillance footage was released by the Fresno Police Department. Shows the four guys running into the store about 11:30 and grabbing up the stuff off the display tables. No weapons were used, none of that. You had four guys. They were wearing black and blue hoodies covering their heads, and they took off. Unclear as to some of the specifics, but they, what was clear is they were really super, super aggressive and grabbed things up off the tables and ran out. And it's pretty crazy to see the footage because you see the people in the store in shock. They're like deer in the headlights. It's the craziest thing. And then you got even four little girls or teenage girls that are kind of standing there in the middle of what's happening. And I think people are stunned. Like nobody stopped them. They're just staring. They're just watching them run out. They grabbed a bunch of stuff. And it's funny because I've thought of that when I've been in an Apple store. It's a wonder that they have it usually hooked up. That doesn't happen more, and it's the first that I've heard of it happening. It could have happened someplace else, but now if there's going to be a bunch of copycats, you're going to have to figure out some way around that. But they have the surveillance footage, and you can't see their faces, but I would think in Fresno they're putting out APBs, and here's the pictures and all that kind of stuff, and here's the footage. I don't know if they'll catch them or not, but very crazy to see that and to see the I think, to see the reaction of the people. And I kind of thought about that. I thought, you know, what if I were in that situation, what would I do? Would I get involved? Would I try to trip them? I just was stunned, and that's what it looked like to me. It looked like that to me. All right, this is a sad story. Kellen Winslow, a guy that I covered for a short period in my sports career, charged with the 2003 rape of an unconscious 17-year-old. So check the story out. Retired NFL tight end, already facing multiple rape and kidnapping charges, was arraigned Thursday on a new charge, forcibly raping a 17-year-old female who, again, was not conscious, which is despicable. Now 34, he was 19 at the time when that happened. The California law, if you're wondering, wow, do the numbers thing, California law allows for certain specific sexual offenses to be charged regardless of the time of their commission under certain circumstances, and those circumstances were met in that case, so that's why that happened. And it's interesting, bail was set at $2 million. His attorneys say he would post bail and would be released Thursday or Friday. His next court hearing is for the 17th. Winslow's mother, Katrina Ramsey, was crying outside the courtroom, and his father, Hall of Fame tight end, very respected, Kellen Winslow Sr., looked, they said, pretty upbeat when he spoke to family and friends. But you got to think he's got to be a little bit shocked by all of this, because this guy was, he was, certainly when he first got into the NFL, he was pretty much a very hot prospect, and he made some money in the NFL. This means he could be doing a lot of jail time, depending on, of course, whether they get convictions or not. Home prices. Are you looking around in your neighborhood? Look around at the numbers. Are they high? Are they low? Have they dipped? Do you even pay attention to that? My husband Paul and I pay attention to what's happening in the housing market in our neighborhood. In my neighborhood, the housing prices have gone up. I mean, in other words, if you have a house, people are offering some money for it. We live in an area where there's a rarity called mature trees. And if you live in Texas, you know that you don't always have that in neighborhoods. I think that's part of it. But I was reading something about the housing inventory, and they're saying the housing inventory increased 2.2% in the second quarter. That's the biggest gain since early 2015, according to real estate research from Trulia. Housing supplies, check this out, were still down 5.3%, so the supplies were down from a year ago. So that's interesting. But the rest of it is up. So 30 of the nation's 100 largest metro areas, I'm in one of them, saw their housing supplies increase on an annual basis last quarter. That's up from just 13 earlier in the year and represents the biggest share of big cities with rising inventory in more than three. All that gobbledygook I just said to you, you know what it means? It means that the economy is more robust. I think you watch housing, and that tells the tale. Nashville, Tennessee led the country in the second quarter with 52% of a jump in homes on the market compared with a year earlier. That's a very big number. The median home price of $255,000 is still up 11.3%. So other top areas include the one I'm in, Dallas, 32.4%, Salt Lake City, 48.6%. If you're listening to us in Little Rock, Arkansas, 13.4%. How about that? Do you like the word free? Do you like free food? Friday is Friday. So you want to get some free French fries the Friday the 13th? It is. I'm not kidding about that. You can go and get French fries at a couple of different places. Let me tell you where. Burger Fi, you get a free order of regular hand-cut fries with any purchase Friday when you mention the offer when placing an order. If you go to Applebee's for a limited time, all you can eat riblets and tenders include unlimited amount of fries, $12.99. You can just fry yourself to death. More fries, please. More fries, please. More fries, please. Burger King, with a coupon in the restaurant's app, get two small orders of fries and two original chicken sandwiches for $4.99. Want some more? Carl's Jr., get a coupon for a free small fries and beverage with the purchase of any $6 burger for joining the chain's email list. Now that's a good thing, joining the email list. And by the way, it's a good reminder for to tell all of you to go to KateDelaneyRadio.com, KateDelaneyRadio.com, or AmericaTonightRadio.com. Either one works. And sign up for my mailing list, because I'm going to have all kinds of really cool giveaways, including my new book. A couple of lucky winners will get that, because this is a hardcover book. It's called Deal Your Own Destiny. It's my whole story, along with what could aid you in what you're doing, and how do you increase your odds, win big, and how do you become extraordinary? What does it take to do that? So, it's quick, impactful. It walks you through the decisions that were part of my career success and how you can have some bold moves that change the course of your destiny. I really enjoyed folks writing this, I got to tell you. It took me a year. I just got the advanced copies. So get in quick. Go to Kate Delaney Radio and jump on my email list, because I got great giveaways, including a book that's not even on the market that you can have a copy of. I'll send you a digital copy of that. So there you go. I can't give you donuts and sticks, though, like they can at Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' is debuting donut fries, which I can't even go there. McDonald's, with a coupon on the app and a $1 purchase, you get a free medium fries. So everywhere you're getting fries. There's ways to get fries, because it's Friday. I kind of have to say I love that, right? It's pretty cool. And I do like French fries, but French fries are so bad. If you eat too many French fries, just a few fries will do. Be careful how many you absorb. How about that? I was just looking at the story about college debt that I read in the USA Today. They say on average, parents owed $32,596 for their cumulative loans taken out under the federal Parent Plus program at college graduation in 2015-2016. And they're comparing it to what the high cost of college now and what families are doing in some cases, and how do they borrow and getting the loans. And, you know, it's tough stuff. Parents borrowing on PLUS loans, that's up 19.2%. And it's kind of a pressure release, but it's also kind of a stressful thing. The average cumulative debt at graduation for a bachelor's degree recipients increased by only 1% from 2011 to 2016, but that's up 26.5% from $23,288 in 2007-2008. So all those numbers add up to, boy, you hope your kid gets a scholarship. Or there's another way to pay. Coming up at the tail end of the show, my nephew Owen takes us on his trip to Portland with him. And there's a few other surprises along the way, so you don't want to miss it. Hang with us, and a big shout out to Andy and Paul for their help on this show.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. President Donald Trump's stance on immigration has caused controversy back home, and on his first official visit to the UK, he tells The Sun he thinks London's first Muslim mayor is doing a terrible job on immigration.
Allowing millions and millions of people to come in to Europe is very, very sad. I think you're losing your culture.
Also in his interview with The Sun, President Trump warned a so-called soft Brexit would kill the chances of a trade deal between the U.S. and Great Britain. President Trump told NATO allies they aren't spending enough on defense. But after their meeting, Trump said the allies have substantially upped their commitment.
The United States commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong.
But ABC reports the president of France says their immediate spending plans have not changed at all, saying France would hit the spending targets the U.S. wants in 2024. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star, and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Wait till you meet my next guest. Boy, oh boy, she's so interesting. Danica Thornberry has written a book called Stick It to Me, Baby. But here's what's so interesting. If I said that title, would you know that she's one of the first acupuncturists in America to specialize in women's health and infertility? One of her claim to fame is that she's helped over 1,500 women conceive healthy babies. How awesome is that? And that's since 2001. She's worked in Los Angeles as definitely one of the top fertility specialists. Danica, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kate. I'm happy to be here.
So let's talk about first what I said. That is something in the world of infertility and what couples go through and what people go through individually or whoever it is, it's such a personal thing. It's such a emotional, often journey, as I've talked to a lot of people that have found themselves in these situations. What was that like for you to be able to help as many people as you've already helped and that you continue to help?
Oh, my goodness. Well, of course, it's very rewarding, but it's also nice to see when the women are able to reframe their success in terms of just personal happiness being restored on their way to getting to parenthood, because I think they lose a lot of themselves or their sense of joy from constant disappointment and facing a negative pregnancy test each month that they're trying, or a failed in vitro cycle time and time again, that can really beat down their spirit. And so it's one thing to have the success of a full-term live birth, but it's another success for these women and these couples to get back to their lives or actually come to a place where they enjoy their life even more than they had before. And that's really the premise of the book, stick it to me, baby, because it's really saying, hey, stuff in life is going to happen, but how are you going to carry yourself through those disappointments? Can you see it as an opportunity for more personal growth or more love for your life? So I see success in two different ways, actually.
So in seeing that success, in seeing those personal stories, you talk about that. You weave that into the book. You have inspirational stories because I think, and you could probably attest to this, when people hear about the stories of the success of others, it makes them feel like they have a shot, right?
Correct. Yes. It makes them open up a part of their brain that is all about possibility and that maybe it can happen for them. And that's exactly what I see happen. The medical model currently has a lot of business attached to it, unfortunately. That's just where we are right now. And that can be scary. And when women are putting in a lot of money into a fertility protocol and it doesn't work, it's easy to lose oneself and to lose hope in the situation. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so in changing your attitude, what do you tell women that is helpful that, you know, give us a little hint of that? How can they change their attitude about infertility and kind of open their mind up to other avenues?
Such a good question. Well, I love the word reframe. And I use it all day long every day where something is going to happen. And depending on how it goes into the woman's brain, it's got to go through the filter of being a victim, woe is me, it's never going to happen, the stinking thinking, the negative based on fear or resentment and doubt. So when it was my own personal story, I was given a list of different obstacles. Stage 4 endometriosis, blocked fallopian tube, elevated FSH, and an early diagnosis of menopause when I was 31.
Wow.
So I saw all of those things, and there would be times where I would feel very downtrodden, hopeless, scared, because I had such a long list of conditions to overcome. And I wasn't a candidate for the science that's out there. In vitro can't be done on somebody who has elevated FSH as high as mine was, because the minute that I would have taken those meds, it would have caused the ovaries to be overstimulated and it would have been too much for my ovaries. So I wasn't a candidate for in vitro. So I had to imply my own reframe. And that reframe was, I don't believe that I need in vitro anyway. So here's an opportunity for me to see what I can do. Here's an opportunity out of this huge disappointment, or reframing fear into an opportunity to practice some wisdom, looking at the wisdom that's been gained through the process, like realizing actually things do work out. I'll give you a really good example, Kate. When women have a struggle to get married and then they find a guy who's perfect for them, and they get married. I'm not saying that they live happily ever after and it's a fairy tale, but they come to a place of surrender and they don't know if they're going to get married. And once they surrender and they reframe the idea that they have to get married or else they're somehow less than, and they surrender that, they get their power back. They become more whole or more confident, more complete just on their own. And then that's more attractive. And then the right partner for them approaches. So I like to use that as a reframe in this fertility world where, hey, this is so hard because it's getting you to surrender your attachments to what you're seeing on social media, what is happening with coworkers and friends, how they are getting pregnant first and it appears to be so easy. Put in the reframe of, I'm going to live my life the best that I can and I'll make certain changes because I'm going to tell myself and believe that it's going to happen for me because it's happening for these other people. And when I see these things on social, I'm not going to let it get to me and take me to a comparative place to feel bad about myself. I'm going to say, okay, if it's happening for them, then it will happen for me. The reframe, or just redirecting the thoughts into another area of possibility. How can I take what's happening and reframe it to tell myself that it's going to work for me?
We're speaking with Danica Thornberry. The name of the book is Stick It to Me, Baby. You can pick it up, Amazon, etc. Great book talking about women who struggle with infertility, the process of conceiving, carrying a baby, all that emotional, spiritual anguish that a lot of people grapple with. And I mentioned this at the top when you're a renowned acupuncturist. Tell us about the acupuncture part of it and how you've seen that really help women.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so good at rebalancing the hormones using the energy of the system. And the way I use acupuncture is I have women come to my office and we begin with a conversation, and I integrate a lot of these concepts that you and I have been talking about into their session, and then I do acupuncture. The endorphins, the feel-good hormones that come out from an acupuncture treatment allow the women to relax in a deeper state. So if they've taken pearls of wisdom from our conversation and then they go to a deep state of relaxation, I believe that that just helps to more deeply integrate these new concepts, such that when she leaves the acupuncture office, now not only is she feeling good physically, but she's also got some new thoughts programmed into her brain. So it's like a holistic approach. It's acupuncture balancing energy, but then we're addressing the mind and the body. And I always talk about different foods that they can eat at different times in their cycle too. And all of this just really works to support the women and their husbands, their partners on this path. So acupuncture is one component, but it's an important component, but it works that much better when there are these empowering conversations going on about the emotional component, and woman feels safe to release those pent-up emotions, then the acupuncture just works that much better.
Bringing this back around again, and we really get the sense of how rewarding it is for you, how many people you've helped, how many people you'd love to help in the future, obviously. What do you hope somebody takes away from reading the book? Opening their mind up, we've said that, but what else can it do? Can it be a big resource, I would imagine, for them?
Sure. I like to recommend that the women read the book when they are in their 2-week wait or after ovulation, where they're looking for some source of inspiration. I also like to recommend the book to women who are willing to read between the lines and not just be limited to whatever their medical diagnosis is, that if they're unexplained infertility, there is an explanation and it's within themselves. They've got to, if their doctor can't find a diagnosis, they've got to find a diagnosis. Oh, it's that I'm constantly going to a negative, fearful place, or oh, I'm not willing to do things differently. I need to look at my level of willingness. And these are the kinds of spiritual concepts that I put into that book that I insert in these acupuncture treatments and the conversation. Hence the title, Stick It to Me. You know, I'm giving these women something that they may not immediately want to do or think of for themselves, but it's a really unique idea. Like, there is more that you can do by just changing your thoughts. And I guess that would be the biggest takeaway. I want women to transform the way that they're thinking about the diagnosis that they're getting, that's leaving them feeling hopeless. I want them to feel that they can create a shift that creates a change in outcome, and that they leave this time behind in their life, these few years that can be all about baby making. I'd like them to be able to look back and say, that was when I changed my life for the better. That was when I made those positive changes. Because otherwise they're going to look back on their fertility years and have more of that negative attitude and sadness and grief that they're going to carry. I'd like it to be seen as a time of transformation.
Absolutely. Perfect place to end this. Danica Thornberry, pick up the book, Stick It to Me, Baby. Thank you so much.
Oh, Kate, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah.
it's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
It's a major problem.
Welcome back to America Tonight. I am so excited to talk to my nephew and introduce you to him again in case you missed him last time around. He is the author of The Ocean of Sound. You can get it on Amazon, so go to Amazon.com. But it's really cool because, as many of you know, when you've heard me talk about Owen on the air, how close I am to him and how excited I am to see some of the directions that he's taking. Now he has just a couple years left in high school, and you know that he spends time with me in the summer and the other, and we've done some pretty fun things, and I'm going to mention those in a second. But because we have listeners, one of our fabulous affiliates is KPAM in Portland, Oregon, and I'm just dying to go up there, and actually I'm really dying to do a whole tour of America Tonight cities, but certainly Portland is one of those cities that's on my list. It looks like I'll be in New Orleans in August, but he had a chance to go to Portland and spend some time there for his spring break. So, Owen, say hi to everybody.
All right. Hey, everyone. And again, thanks for having me again. Kate, it's great to be on your show.
And so you and I were talking the other day, and it got me excited. You were talking about Portland, and you had the chance to go there. And you are familiar with Portland because you used to watch a show called Portlandia. How would you describe Portlandia?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's Fred Armisen, Carrie Brownstein making this little skit show, which is actually shot in Portland, Oregon. I watched it ever since it first came on. Then I was obsessed with Portland. I'm like, whoa, does this place really exist? That sounds awesome. And it's funny because I actually watched nonstop Portlandia while I was there because the place we were staying at had Netflix, so it just seemed right.
So you watched the show Portlandia, which is really cool because it gets you interested in Portland. Was Portland what you thought it would be like because you had seen these shows for all these years and then you finally get a chance to go there?
Oh, absolutely. Because the thing that Portlandia does is it sort of portrays Portland as this really cool hipster town with a bunch of like vegan restaurants and really cool like farm-to-plate stuff and a lot of green areas, not too many roads, and it's exactly like that. The parks are fantastic. The stores are really small and thrifty. It's really cool. I recommend everyone go there. It's really neat.
Cool. I like that. So the thrift stores, you spent some time in the thrift store, so it's, you know, lots of people are familiar with going to thrift stores and shopping there, but some areas don't really have great stores. But Portland, like you said, is known for that. So you can find all kinds of cool, eclectic things, right?
Oh, yeah. And they never really say thrift stores. They always say, like, a vintage shop, which, you know, seems more appropriate because that's sort of the stuff they have in there. They have really cool vinyl records. I got a really cool-looking hat, those sunglasses where you can vaguely, like, see through them like you see in the 70s. And they're not like regular thrift stores, because I have regular thrift stores where I live, like crappy Salvation Armies and stuff. It's not like that at all. They're super cool. They're owned by retro-y people that really listen to the Rolling Stones and stuff. There's some really interesting people there. I loved going to those stores, and I brought back so much stuff.
Right, so meaning it's more like, so not crappy Salvation Army, because of course we support the Salvation Army, meaning the stores have mostly clothes and that kind of stuff, old kind of clothes and things that people have that are left over from their house. So you're saying it's more vintage, and that makes sense by your description because you're talking about kind of hipsters, cool stuff that they have that now the retro stuff that's hot again, right?
Yeah, and I saw how you were trying to save me there. I'm not saying the Salvation Army is bad.
Right.
I really do support the Salvation Army. I love going to the one near my store, but the stores don't have a lot of stuff. Like, there are always those bad fluorescent lights and stuff, but these... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about,
right.
But these cool vintage shops have everything, and they're really neat.
Yeah, so the vintage shops were really cool, and then you were at a place called, and this is what I think is interesting about Portland for everybody listening, and you know this, is you have so much diversity of what you can do there. So one minute you might be in these kind of vintage stores shopping around for vinyl records, which are coming back. Isn't that crazy? I wish I had saved my vinyl records. Then the next minute, you know, you're on Ski Mountain and you had a chance to do what at Ski Mountain? How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. We went up to Hood Mountain. It wasn't a long drive, but it was really a tiresome drive. Like, there was a little bit of traffic because everyone was coming up there for the break. But it was worth it. The mountain was fantastic. You can rent these little tubes and go down this hill. It's really neat. I got a ton of pictures when I came back. I even kept some of the gloves that I bought when I was at the store. So I think it's really worth it, even if the drive was a little bit of a pain.
Yeah, so you did you went up to Mount Hood, which is very famous, and that's what you said. And you had the chance to where either people are skiing or tubing or doing whatever. And then all of a sudden, then you're back down in Portland. And Portland is pretty, right? It's really green.
Yeah, Portland's beautiful. It really is. A lot of the parks have all of these unbelievable bike trails, and like sometimes they're bike trails where roads would be, which blows my mind to see. And those always intersect with like those really cool parks that are converted, that, you know, like used to be old bridges or used to be superstores. They're really interesting, and yeah, it makes me wish I had brought my bike or brought a lot more equipment.
And speaking of equipment, you had a chance to do kind of a little documentary thing. You were out at a museum. Tell us about the museum and what was so neat. What's the name of the museum and what was so cool about the museum?
Oh, yeah. The documentary is the reason why we went up there. I got in touch with this man named Jim Stewart, who's the curator of this museum called the Zymoglyphic Museum. And then I interviewed him a little bit. I got his commentary about the museum, and he eventually brought in this friend who knew the museum very well. I interviewed her, asked her some questions. And, yeah, my documentary is essentially finished. The only thing I'm looking for is someone to to do a narration, but I don't want to say too much about it because I'm still, you know, I still want to reveal it.
A narration? Are you taking auditions for that? Maybe I should audition. You know, you have an aunt who's in radio.
Yeah, but I don't want you to, you know, go up when we're trying to talk about something interesting. You go like, all right, coming at you, Kate Delaney. We're talking about Zumroglyphology. How about those cowboys, huh?
Do you hear this, America? Do you hear my nephew busting my chops? That is brutal. But actually, that's cool that you're looking to do narration to add to the documentary. And in filming this, what kind of equipment do you use for that? I'm kind of curious because now, boy, you don't need a lot of equipment.
Yeah, that's true. I have this old iPad mini that I actually converted into this really cool like film device because sometimes you can get those attachable handles that help stabilize it. You can get a microphone that you can plug into it, and it works a lot better than the iPad microphone. That's essentially what I use for the whole thing, because I realize I do have a lot of those fancy Hollywood cameras, but I have no clue how to use them. So I figured this might be better, and it worked out.
Help, help. Who knows how to teach them how to use the fancy cameras? That's funny. All right, so this is kind of interesting for people listening. We're speaking to my nephew, Owen Delaney, and I mentioned he has a book called The Ocean of Sound out. It's on Amazon. So here's the thing, Owen. You obviously have an interest in writing. You have an interest in doing a documentary and film and stuff, and you're going to be a junior in high school. So what do you hope to do with this? I mean, do you, you know, I talk to a lot of high school students, and they have ideas of what they want to do, but they're not necessarily sure. What do you feel like you want to do?
Well, I think when I get finished with this movie, I'll maybe just send it to a few small film festivals just for fun. And who knows, maybe that'll lead to a little bit of attention. In fact, I'm writing a screenplay to a movie right now, which I don't know that I have time to talk about. But anyway, I'm having a lot of fun with this. I do want to go into filmmaking, but I'm not sure, you know, who's going to notice me. What are the necessary steps to get there? So, you know, I'm still looking at film school, things like that. But, yeah, just hoping that someone might notice.
Right, but part of the necessary skills are the things that people can relate to that are listening to America Tonight. When you're a kid, what you're interested in, sometimes if you're lucky, because I say this in my speeches, you get to pursue your passion, and obviously you really enjoy this, and there's so many different formats out there, and you've already seen this in writing and expressing yourself, and your opinions change and things change, but the fact that you're doing it now, I think, gives you a great head start. Do you know any of any other kids your age at school? Are there any others interested like you are in filmmaking?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's how I met a lot of my friends. Like, I just walk up to them and ask them, hey, have you watched any good movies lately? And then eventually it turned into this really long conversation about who's the best, you know, filmmaker. Yeah, there are tons of kids like me that want to get into this stuff. So I have a little bit of a competition, but I think it's all right because I can always do other stuff. I'm really good at, I think I'm all right at writing books, but that's another skill that also helps filmmaking, because I always hate when people say, you know, writing and filmmaking are different subjects, even though they're very close. You have to write screenplays, you have to write this and that. Anyway, if filmmaking doesn't work out, I think I have a good cushion to land on.
Exactly, and there you go. So mature. But you're right. It, having a backup plan, so you already have one, because you know how to do various things, which is one of the key thing. I think is one of the key elements to being in the arts. All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
All right. Thanks again.
We'll be back with more of America Tonight in just a moment.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.